Chapter 34. I came through my apartment door, took one look around the candlelit place, and half shouted, "Hell's bells! What is wrong with you people?" Morgan sat slumped against the wall with the fireplace, and fresh spots of blood showed through his bandages. His eyes were only partly open. His hand lay on the floor beside him, limp, the fingers half curled. A tiny little semi-automatic pistol lay on the floor beneath his hand. It wasn't mine. I have no idea where he'd been hiding it. Molly was on the floor in front of the sofa, with Mouse literally sitting on her back. She was heaving breaths in and out, making the big dog rise and settle slightly as she did. Lucio lay where I'd left her on the couch, flat on her back, her eyes closed, obviously still unconscious. Mouse had one of his paws resting lightly on her sternum. Given the nature of her recent injury, it seemed obvious that he would need to exert minimal pressure on her to immobilize her with pain, should she awaken. The air smelled of cordite. Mouse's fur, all down his left foreleg, was matted and caked with blood. When I saw that, I rounded on Morgan in a fury, and if Murphy hadn't stepped forward and grabbed my arm with both hands, I would have started kicking his head flat against my wall. I settled for kicking the gun away instead. If I got a couple of his fingers, too, it didn't bother me much at the time. Morgan watched me with dull, hardly conscious eyes. "I swear," I snarled. "I swear to God, Morgan, if you don't explain yourself, I'm going to strangle you dead with my own hands and drag your corpse back to Edinburgh by the balls." "Harry," Murphy shouted, and I realized that she had positioned her entire body between me and Morgan, and she was leaning against me like a soldier struggling to raise a flag. Morgan bared his teeth, more rictus than smile. "Your warlock," he said, his voice dry and leathery, "was trying to enter Captain Lucio's mind against her will." I surged forward, and Murphy pushed me back again. I weighed twice what she did, but she had good leverage and focus. "And so you shot my dog?" I screamed. "He interposed himself," Morgan said. He coughed weakly and closed his eyes, his face turning grayer. "Never meant to hit." "I swear to God," I snarled. "That's it. That is it. Molly and I are going right to the wall for you, and this is how you repay us? I am pushing your paranoid ass out my door, leaving you there, and starting a pool on who comes for you first. The Black Council, the Wardens, or the goddamn buzzards?"
Harry,"
Molly said in a weak, nauseated and shamed voice, barely more than a whisper. I felt my anger abruptly drain away, to be replaced by a wave of denial and a slowly dawning sense of horror. I turned, slowly, to look at Molly.
"He was right,"
she wheezed, not looking at me, struggling to speak over the burden of Mouse's weight. I could hear the tears reflected in her voice as they began to fall.
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Harry. He was right."
I leaned my shoulders back against the wall and watched as Mouse looked at me with grave, pained eyes and stayed right where he was, both holding Molly down and shielding her body with his. We got Morgan put back into bed, and then I went over to Mouse. "Okay," I said, "move." Only then did Mouse remove himself from Molly's back, limping heavily to one side. I knelt down by him and examined his leg. He flattened his ears and leaned away from me. I said firmly, "Stop that. Hold still." Mouse sighed and looked miserable, but he let me poke at his leg. I found the wound up near his shoulder and a hard lump under the skin. "Get up," I said to Molly, my tone steady. "Go to the lab. Get the medical kit under the table. Then get the little scissors and a fresh razor from the cabinet in my bathroom." She pushed herself up slowly. "Move," I said, my voice quiet and level and unyielding. She was obviously still recovering from being pinned to the floor, but she moved quicker and staggered down to my lab.